He bore it all
that I might in his presence and my precious Savior suffered pain and agony. He bore it all
You're listening to BibleStudy.net, an hour of Bible teaching aimed at helping you enjoy the Scriptures, which are the Word of God. This teaching is provided by John Malone from Millard Community Church in Omaha, Nebraska.
Stood condemned, he took my place.
He bore it all
that I might in his presence live.
We're in Romans chapter 11. We've been contemplating. We're coming to the apex of this study. I want to take that right up because we have quite a bit to consider. And I have been hearing from listeners that I seem to take up a lot about Israel. You know, there seems to be a lot of your study that is about Israel. And let me tell you that that's appropriate, and that I'm glad to hear that. I don't know if it was intended as a criticism or a simple observation. It is an accurate one. And let me say that the Bible is very much about Israel. As the Lord told Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. There is still something of that, and God will work a great love for his people, the nation Israel, into the hearts of all who believe. One of the things that is given to us, we study here in the book of Romans, we've studied a considerable amount about the new nature that is given to us. One of the things that is in the new nature, which is the gift of the giver, the Holy Spirit of God, one of the gifts, one of the aspects of that new nature that is given to us, and here I'm not talking about sign gifts, I'm not talking about gifts as operational aspects of interaction between members of the church, except this, the love of the Father is shed abroad in our hearts. That's what the main gifting, or the main summary of the gifting that God gives us in the new nature, is that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. This I'm taking from Romans chapter 5, where you may remember, if you've been following our study, or I'll just introduce you to this. It tells us, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, we do have peace with God. That has to do with breaking down the hostility that is in us toward God. In fact, one of the great things that happens when we're regenerated is that we realize that we have peace with God. We are no longer enemies in our mind by wicked works. And this is through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has reconciled us to God. God didn't change, we changed. And by whom also we have access by faith, that is by Jesus Christ, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So we stand in grace, and we also have access to grace. And that the grace that we stand in comes through faith. Of course, remember, access was the introduction to grace. We have introduction into the grace that we're standing in. And we're rejoicing in hope. We look forward to the glory of God. And then it says, not only so, this is Romans 5, verse 3, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Now, here we have the gift, really, in view, and not the giver. The giver is the person of the Holy Ghost, but here we have in view his working or his gift that is in our hearts. And so we have regenerated minds. We have regenerated minds. We don't have a mind anymore that is in enmity against God by wicked works, but we now have a mind that is at peace with God and that actually can enjoy the peace of God if we'll allow the peace of God to settle into our normally, naturally hostile minds. And the natural man, of course, doesn't change a bit and is still hostile to God and to his plans and so forth, but our new nature, which includes the love of God shedding abroad in our hearts, which here is really our minds. We have this love of God, and we therefore experience this gift as well, which is God's love. Now, the love of God is not our love for God. Do not mistake love of God being love for God. This is God's love for us, which is unleashed, as it were, here in Romans 5 said to be shed abroad, or it's let loose. It comes out of God into us. As that happens, we begin to experience it. Now, how do we experience it? Well, first, we experience it as his love for us. But it is, as it were, the new nature is decidedly wanting to get with God's program. Maybe you've heard that figure speech, get with the program. Well, the new nature is inclined and, in fact, will get with God's program. And God's program is his love for us, but it is also our love one for another, for example. So when God's love is unleashed into our lives, God's love seeks the object. God's love seeks an object for which to demonstrate. And God's people, of course, are the primary objects that we seek. So that's why the scripture doesn't say, go and love your brothers. It actually says, let brotherly love continue. So that's something that will just normally, let me say, supernaturally arise out of the regenerate man or woman if we don't take steps to stop it by the old nature. And you say, well, what's the big difference? Well, there's a huge difference. One is a principle of operating by grace through faith, and the other is one that's operating on the principle of law and works. And despite the fact that someone may tell you, you need to do this, you need to do that, the alleged outcome is the same. And I say alleged outcome because the outcome will not be the same. And that you may think out of the natural mind that the outcome will be the same, it will not be the same as if you let brotherly love continue by walking by grace through faith. And it is important for every believer to continually evaluate whether we're walking on the grace through faith principle. Because just as soon as you're not walking on that principle, you are not walking in blessing. Now, how do I relate that back to Romans chapter 11? Why have I gone down this corridor? I've gone down this corridor because God has his love shed abroad in our hearts. And his love is not merely for the Christian, but is also for the Jew, and in fact is for the world. But he has a specific love for his people, the nation Israel, whom he has not cast away, but whom he has set aside. And so it is a normal affection for the Christian to love Israel, and yet we need to guide, and we need to see the Scripture's guidance and direction for that affection, so that we don't become partial and approve that which God disapproves. And I say this because today there are some Christians who truly love the nation of Israel, which is the Israel of God, but who are not educated in Romans 11 here and Romans 10 and Romans 9. They're not rightly educated to realize that there is a partial, temporary blindness of Israel, and that we need to make sure that our born-again affections for Israel do not cross over into a natural mode whereby we approve everything that Israel as a nation set aside by God would do. Now, if that sounds like I'm dancing around here, I'm not at all. Because that nation today, named Israel, counted among the Gentiles, one of the nations in the UN, is not the Israel of God. And that is a nation on earth established in unbelief and that is hostile to God. It is as hostile as any Gentile nation is to God. There is this hostility of the nation of Israel. After all, the nation of Israel nationally has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only them, but you see dispensationally, we learned that the Gentile nations of the house of Japheth would be blessed in the tent of Shem. Now, Shem was given the tent. Shem was given the tabernacle on earth where God would dwell, and out of that tent brought he the nation of Israel. And the Japhethite nations would prosper as long as they stuck with the God of Shem. And we find, of course, that the Gentile nations, as many Hamitic nations have done, the Japhethite nations will turn. Finally, prophetically, we look in the scripture, we know that these nations will turn on Israel and will turn against Israel and the God of Israel. Of course, they're already doing it. You have a hard time finding among many of the Japhethite nations in Central and Western Europe any ready 21st century formal affections for the God of Israel, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we look at that dispensational aspect where we say, well, these nations are blessed because they have abided in the tents of Shem, and these nations have been even further blessed because the Word of God came to them through Macedonia. The Apostle Paul didn't go east into India. He went west into Macedonia. And that's why today, friends, India and the Far East are occupied for the main part with the religions of demons. And we in the West have the great privilege of the Word of God from our youth, even in America, from our national youth. And we can become arrogant and say, well, we've got the truth and they don't, so forth and so on. But let me just say, now we have Romans chapter 11. If some of the branches be broken off, and you a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, that is to say, if God took out some of the natural branches and he left in a remnant, but for the most part Israel he set aside, he certainly set them aside naturally, many of the branches taken out, and you were grafted in among them, and you partook of the root, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fatness of the olive tree, then don't be boastful against those branches that were taken out, because you are born by the root, and they were taken out because they rejected the root. This is the root of Jesse, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're born by the root, so that when these wild olive branches reject the root or reject the Lord Jesus Christ, they will also be taken out. Now, here's what it says. So thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off to accommodate me. God set aside Israel to put us in. And this is dispensational. This is not individual. Some of the branches were broken off to make room for some of the Gentiles. Well, it says, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, nationally speaking, he will also not spare you. And that's just now here a description about who God is. He is not a respecter of persons. He broke off the vast bulk of the nation Israel due to unbelief. And as soon as the Gentiles go into unbelief, the vast bulk, he will also break them off. If God spared not the natural branches, pay attention to that, lest he also doesn't spare you. Verse 22, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward you goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off or broken off. Now, what is his goodness? His goodness is singularly his word to us. His word to us. The great goodness of God can be summarized in a very simple way. He brought his word to us. You say, well, what about the Lord Jesus Christ? He gave us his son. Well, his son is the word made flesh. But his son came to the nation of Israel. When we look dispensationally at what God has done that's different, is that he has brought his word to the Gentiles. Even in that, he had in mind to do something to Israel from it. He set Israel aside and took his word to the Gentile nations and to Gentiles like I used to be, and I have his word, in order to provoke Israel to jealousy. So we've already seen that. And when we come back from this brief break, we're going to see what else God is doing and exactly what this mystery is. And our work in it is to believe it and to hold it. Stay with us. We'll come back.
Brother to brother, 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 brother to brother turn up the light, say goodnight to another day. I'm gonna rest my weary head in my long-awaited bed. I'm gonna get on my knees and pray for some Lord to give me just one more day. Oh Lord, hear my plea. This music just sounds so good to me, and we're singing it soul to soul,
soul to soul,
brother to brother,
brother to brother, what?
Acapella,
acapella,
when it sounds good to me, singing it soul to soul.
This is John Malone. BibleStudy.net is the radio ministry of Millard Community Church in Omaha, Nebraska. I believe the Bible teaches the ministry of the Word of God should come out of the local church. What's the local church? It's the geographically identifiable group of Christian believers publicly identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ and with one another. It's God's people called out and from the world. According to the Bible, it is to be the pillar and support of the truth. If you need fuel for your car, go to a gas station. If you want food, go to a grocery store or a restaurant. If you want the truth, that should be found in the local church. Millard Community Church meets every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. for Bible study, and every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. We gather in Omaha, one block north of Q Street and Oaks Lane, which is approximately at 127th Street. You are welcome to come and practice your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ with us.
Alas, and did my Savior me, and did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for one so low as I? At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. All the day. I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day, all the day.
Want to look here at the remainder of Romans 11, and the Lord helping us, we'll finish that today. We see here now there is the danger of these Gentiles being cut off. Well, of course, that's going to happen, by the way. It is going to happen. The Gentile nations, as the recipients, firstly, of the Word of God through the gospel in this great day of grace through faith, the mystery period that we're in, where many mysteries are revealed, including the mystery of Israel's temporary and partial blindness, something that's never been known before in the Scriptures, now here known. This period of time will come to a close, and in fact, the wild branches will be cut off, and the natural branches will be put back in, because these wild branches are going to not abide in faith, and Israel will not still abide in unbelief. So we see here in verse 22 of Romans 11, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise you'll be cut off. And we know prophetically that the Gentile nations will not continue in the goodness of God. They will just not continue in the Word of God. And in fact, they aren't continuing right now. We see the decline. We see the departure. One of the great things that we should look for as a sign of the times that we're in, is the apostasy or the departure from the faith. The departure from the faith is threefold. There's the departure from the faith of the nation of Israel. There is the departure from the faith of the Gentile nations. And there is the departure from the faith, by the way, of those who have believed in him. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's just look at what this mystery is by looking at what this mystery is not. And I think a lot of times that will help us with our confusion. So we look here and it tells us, if Israel abides not in unbelief, verse 23, they'll be grafted in. God is able to graft them in again. And by the way, a wild olive branch does not bear fruit. It is not useful. It is not a thing that you do. And yet God in grace took these wild olive branches and grafted it in. And because it partakes of the root, it becomes fruitful. No other reason. Verse 24, for if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, in other words, if you were cut out of a wild olive tree, which is not fruitful and does not produce useful fruit, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which are the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? And here's the point. Israel has a natural relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't. He's a Jew. You're a Gentile, if you were formerly a Gentile believer. And so the Gentiles have no natural relationship, but they do have a relationship in grace by the Word of God coming out. So if God can graft in the Gentiles, of course the answer is, how much more can he graft in the natural branches? And the answer is, he can do that. But of course the context here is he's not doing that, so this does not pertain to the remnant who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ during this present age. But it refers to an age that's yet to come, and the great mystery is not the age which is to come, nor is the great mystery the age which once was. The great mystery is that there is a temporary and partial blindness upon Israel during the times of this mystery. That's the great news here. So I think we can look at Isaiah chapter 11, and we'll see what the mystery is not. And follow with me carefully here. Because if you think that it's hard to understand this, it really isn't, but it is a bit complicated and difficult to teach it because of all of the misdirecting teaching that's going on, all the false teaching that's going on. Instead of breezing down an open field, it's like walking through a minefield because there are those false teachings which would detonate the truth of God. And I know, as I broadcast into the airwaves here, and whoever's tuned in can just listen to this, that there are all kinds of misconceptions that people have. So I'm going to look at Isaiah chapter 11 and teach here for a while what the mystery concerning Israel is not. Now, it's the truth concerning Israel, but it's no mystery. It's no secret. This is right here in Isaiah 11. And here's what it says. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. So here's a rod coming out of a stem. Of course, the stem being that from which the nourishment comes. So this is a sprout coming out of Jesse. By the way, here, the rod or sprout is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesse is referred to here as a stump. Now, Jesse is David's father. So here we find out that that was made, that that's kind of a stump. In the time of Isaiah, of course, we see that, that it's being cut down, but yet there will come a sprout out of it, out of Jesse. And then it says, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This branch is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Zechariah, he's called the branch. He's the branch that shall grow up out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Now remember, this is not a mystery. There's no secret here. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was never hid. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might. I'm in Isaiah 11, verse 2. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now some of this he has not done. Some of this he has done. The Lord has not yet judged the earth. He has come. He had the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is of quick understanding and the fear of the Lord. He will not judge after the sight of his eyes, nor reprove after the hearing of his ears. He suspended judgment. In fact, he's opened this great grace in which we stand. Not judging today. He's not doing that. If he was judging today, then even I would be in the lake of fire. But instead, he's offering his peaceful terms, and I've received it, and so I'm never going to lake of fire, pastor death into life. Neither are you if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But here it says, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and so forth. Well, he hasn't done that yet. And he certainly hasn't slayed the wicked yet. But he will. And the righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Then we have verse 6, and maybe you've heard this before. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. Now listen here, that's not going on. Wolves and lambs do not dwell together very well. And if you're a shepherd today, just don't start cultivating wolves in with your sheep. It's just not going to work out for you. And a leopard still eats a kid here. You got a young goat, the leopard will eat it. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. Well, young lions, hey, we got mountain lions loose in our surrounding area. Let me assure you, those are very dangerous creatures. And here it says, and the youth shall lead them. Well, I'll tell you what, you certainly don't have a young person, maybe you have them tending your sheep, but you don't let just a young person hang around wolves and leopards and lions. That's a very dangerous thing, regardless of what people may say. These big cats still have the expectation and yearn for the manifestation of the sons of God, because this hasn't happened yet. So here, the prophecy is very clear, and we'll just go on. A cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. Well, let me tell you something. Lions today do not diet on straw, and bears are flesh eaters, too. So here we're going to see that one day things are going to change on the earth, but it hasn't happened yet. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of an asp. Let me tell you, you get a little one-year-old, a little nursing, a little six-month-old, you keep them away from those snakes. Very dangerous, especially a poisonous creature like a snake. The weaned child, now here's a little bit older, but not very much older, let's say a two-year-old. shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Well, listen, do not have your two-year-old hanging around pit vipers, rattlesnakes, and so forth. Of course, these things don't need to be said, but we say them as obvious things to tell us, well, this hasn't happened yet. But we know that a sprout has come out of Jesse. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ has come. And then we know that these other things have not come. And so the question is, well, what's in between these two things? And it's not here in Isaiah 11. It's not here in the Old Testament. Where it is, it's a secret that was withheld, and now it's revealed in Romans 11 that, in fact, this takes place. There's this space, what we call maybe we call it a space of grace. It's okay. There's a space of grace here, and what occupies that space is something God didn't talk about, but it's the temporary, partial blindness of the nation of Israel. And here we'll now see some further as we read here in Isaiah 11. And now I'm in verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Well, this is Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And let me tell you, one thing that's going on there is hurting and destroying. I visited Jerusalem a few years ago. My wife and I drove from the airport in Tel Aviv as we flew in. And we drove from the airport in Tel Aviv right to the old city, Jerusalem. Now here it says, they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. And of course, this is specifically Mount Zion, but in the surrounding precincts, including Jerusalem. And we parked our car in right there in a proper parking place outside the old city. And we went in and we thought, well, we'll spend some time in the old city right away. We spent a few hours in the old city, came back out. Our car had been destroyed. Our car had been bashed in. Our things were taken. Even I have a Bible that was stolen there. All because it had an Israeli license plate. When we came out, there were policemen waiting for us to come to our car to say, well, we wanted to watch the rest of your stuff, which is an amazing thing. But there were the policemen, and they said, well, the problem is you parked here, you had an Israeli license plate. Well, I mean, listen, let me tell you that they will hurt or destroy in His holy mount today. Again, this stuff is not true today. And then we have verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And let me tell you something. The apostle writes Romans 11 because that's not happening today either. Stay with us.
Are we walking into the enemy's camp, laying our weapons down, shedding our armor as we go, leaving it on the ground? Gotta be strong in the power of His might. Prove to the enemy we are the army of the Lord, and we won the victory. All around us the war's going on, between the wrong and the right. We gotta choose which side we're on, the darkness over the light. Some of the soldiers of the Lord just don't realize that the captain of the army of darkness has come to blind their eyes. Are we walking into the enemy's camp, laying our weapons down, shedding our armor as we go, leaving it on the ground? We've got to be strong in the power of His might, prove to the enemy we are the army of the Lord, and we won the victory. Can't you see that we're in a battle? There's no place to hide. Our shields of faith are full of darts. They're shooting from every side. Just shake out the darts and run right at them, and remember who you're fighting for. Don't fall asleep, cause if they catch you, they'll tag you prisoner of war. Are we walking into the enemy's camp, laying our weapons down, shedding our armor as we go, leaving it on the ground? We've got to be strong in the power of His might, prove to the enemy we are the army of the Lord, and we want the victory.
scant, laying our weapons down, shedding our armor as we go, leaving it on the ground.
We
gotta be strong in the power of His might, prove to the enemy we are the army of the Lord, and we want the victory.
BibleStudy.net with John Malone is heard every day at 5, but it can also be heard live anywhere on the Internet through the BibleStudy.net website. Archived broadcasts are also available on the website, which means you can listen to broadcasts anytime, nearly anywhere, by visiting the site www.BibleStudy.net. You can also interact with John Malone, give your comments, and ask questions by clicking the email hyperlink provided there. Visit www.BibleStudy.net and listen to the broadcast every night for an hour, starting at 5. BibleStudy.net with John Malone.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
Garden, He prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for His own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine.
I'm singing, oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Angels beheld Him and came from the world of light to comfort Him in the sorrows He bore for my soul that night. How marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransom in glory His face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me.
Sing,
oh, how marvelous, and how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, and how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Carl looking at Isaiah 11 to help corroborate the mystery period of Romans 11. And I left you with the quote out of Isaiah 11:10, that there will be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And I'll tell you two things. Number one, we have the root of Jesse, but we do not have the Gentiles seeking that root today. You say, but look at all the nations all over the earth. The gospel is being preached. That's correct. But all the nations are not seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ. The nations are doing what the nations have always done. Yes, there are those out of every nation and out of the nation of Israel who are being taken out as a people for his name, but they are being put into the Church of Christ, which is his body, and that is something else that is going on during this mystery period. It is not fulfilling this scripture. And then finally it says, his rest shall be glorious. And of course we realized that we have rest, but that there is a rest that remaineth for the people of God. And that's what Hebrews chapter 4, David spoke of another day. And that day is not today. That day is another day. Well, what day is it? Well, it will come to pass, Isaiah 11:11, in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and Egypt and Pathros and Cush, from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. We say, maybe that's what God's doing in Israel. Hardly. Those people are there in unbelief. God isn't doing this for the second time yet, but he will. First time he did it, in Exodus chapter 15, he brought the children of Israel together into the wilderness. But let me assure you, where he recovered them from where they were dispersed. But today is the dispersion of Israel. And Israel is dispersed throughout the entire earth. God is not gathering them together today. If God was gathering them together, they would be gathered together. But I can tell you, you will find the nation of Israel scattered in its diaspora, in its scattering, all over the earth. You will find Jews everywhere. As one old preacher told me, he said he met a man that said, well, not in our little city, you won't find any Jews. And the preacher said to him, that's why you're such a little city. Yes, the children of Israel, in unbelief, scattered throughout all the world. I remember some years back, I was following with great interest, because those of you who listen to my broadcast or know me realize that I've spent more than a decade actively in East Africa, in business and ministry there. And prior to that time, I had an active interest in Africa. I had direction from an old preacher who directed me in many ways. One of the ways he directed me is to pray concerning Africa instead of my then ongoing prayer, which was China, where he had served. This was Dan Smith, formerly of the China Inland Mission and also of India, where he worked as a missionary in India. He was of Vancouver, British Columbia. And he said, well, I think you should pray about Africa, which I began to do in the early 80s, and God opened the door for me in the early 90s, and I've been involved in that continent since, especially in East Africa. But during that time of my interest, prior to my involvement, I began to understand about an airlift of Ethiopian Jews to Israel that was going on. Fascinating to me that there were Jews in Ethiopia, African Jews. I think it was the largest airlift of people in the history of the world at that time, and I think it still is, where about 30,000 Ethiopian Jews were airlifted into Israel. And I had the great opportunity when I visited Israel to meet some of those Ethiopian Jews during a wedding that they had where I was staying. And it was a fascinating thing because it was a Jewish kind of, actually it was a traditional African wedding in Israel among Jews. What a tremendous, what an experience that, what a cross-cultural experience that was. And of course, in African fashion, I was there, so I was invited. And we did attend. Well, this is not going on today. God is not collecting together his remnant. In fact, the remnant is according to grace. There is a different remnant than this. The remnant of this present day is the remnant who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. In that day, he will recover the remnant of his people throughout the whole world and gather them together in Israel from all throughout the earth. And we see that in the prophecy of Matthew chapter 24. where he'll collect his elect from the four winds of heaven. There are those today that are confusing this prophetic teaching, getting it totally out of context, and trying to apply it, for example, to keep Christians from realizing that they've been saved from wrath and that that collection is going to be the collection of God's people after they've had a good healthy dose of wrath or tribulation. And that's being taught in churches right where you hear this broadcast. You hear this broadcast in Omaha, you hear this broadcast in Kansas City, and in your Christian churches, it's being taught that God's church, which is his body, is going to be left around for at least part of the time of Jacob's trouble, that bloody mess, having no proper knowledge of the things that differ. And that's one of the reasons, by the way, why we do this broadcast. Because you are not going to walk by grace through faith if you don't have proper faith in the Word of God. And this is not about you. This is about God's people, Israel, who are also elect. And in that day, he will collect them. And he'll also set up an ensign for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And he's going to collect Israel together in that future day. But today, Israel is not in that condition. It is blind today. God in that day will fulfill all the scriptures, and then the ensign of the Lord Jesus Christ will be set up in the context of the nation of Israel, and the Gentile nations will then seek him and honor him. And if they don't, he'll deal with them severely, because that is a day in which he will rule with a rod of iron. But friends, that is not today. Today is the day of Israel's partial temporary blindness, verse 25 of Romans 11, until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Now, this fullness of the Gentiles and the fullness of the Jews who come in of the remnant today comprise the fullness of Christ, and we're going to see that in the book of Ephesians, which is the church, which is his body. Oh, I would that we could just go on here, but we have to sprint a little bit to complete this chapter. And so all Israel will be saved. There's one day when all of Israel will be saved. That's today, God saving the remnant. But so all Israel will be saved after the fullness of the Gentiles come in during this age. There's an age coming when all Israel will be saved. As it is written, they'll come out of Zion the Deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I take away their sins, and that is the new covenant. It's in a future day. It is not today. It is not today. It is a future day. It is with Israel. There is no new covenant with the church, which is his body. The covenants are Israel's. Romans chapter 9. So as concerning the gospels, they're enemies for your sakes. In other words, they're an enmity against the gospel today for your sake, so that God can call out a people unto his name. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake, so they are also elect. So we have a love for them despite their enmity against God and us. If that sounds like a conflict to you, well, that's what we have. Because the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, and God is not going to change his mind concerning the nation Israel. So they are going to yet believe, and they're going to yet obtain mercy despite the fact that God has concluded them in unbelief today so that he can have mercy on both Jew and Gentile. And then the apostle finishes this section with a doxology. O depth of riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Romans 11:34. For who has known the mind of the Lord, who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And we finish this section by saying this, all of this is arranged to give great glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're in the period of temporary blindness to Israel, which is called a secret time or a mystery period, and we're in the mystery period, the wonderful mystery, which is the church, which is his body, and we ought to be happy with it, and focus on that.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away,
fly away,
to
a home on God's celestial shore.
God has given us a unique perspective during this time, during these 2,000 years since Christ formed the church, which is his body. He's given us this unique perspective because we're in Christ and we're seated in him in the heavenly places. And if I may talk about both time and geography, or time and space, I think that the Bible helps us understand the wonderful perspective that we have today. First of all, we're told in the book of Ephesians that we're seated in Christ in the heavenly places, that that's where we're seated, that's where we are in Christ, he is seated, and therefore we are seated with him being in Christ. And so he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Geographically, the Bible would seem to indicate that is in the far recesses of the north. We know it's beyond the realm where angels can easily go. It's certainly well beyond the realm that spacecraft and airplanes and birds and other flying things and creatures can go, that he's far above and that he's in the highest place in the paradise of God, seated at the right hand of God the Father, and we in him are also therefore seated there. That's our geography. And if you just regard for a moment the fact of having the highest perch or the highest place of perspective, then we can see the from end to end. Our perspective is his perspective, and we can see from one end to the other. The other aspect of our status with God, having believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, is time. Not only do we have a spatial advantage of being in a very high place, but we have a time advantage. We're chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation, or one might say the overthrow, of the world. And so because we're chosen in him before the history of man, and because he gives to us eternal life, and so we'll never die, that he who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, as it says in John chapter 5, has passed through death into life, and eternal life is our present possession, we have an eternal perspective also going forward. Therefore, we have a perspective before man's history, and that continues on into eternity future, which certainly is the extent of man's history. We have the ability to see end-to-end, not only in space, but in time.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm singing, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For cleansing. This my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Singing,
oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. But the blood of Jesus,
nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So, not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Singing,
oh, precious is the flow that makes me. But the blood of my Jesus. What can wash away my sin?
No,
nothing but the blood of Jesus.
And
what can make me whole again?
No, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white. But the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
BibleStudy.net is the radio ministry of Millard Community Church, a local church in Omaha, Nebraska.